Welcome to episode 11 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover trainer and voiceover talent, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with my friend, voiceover student and current voice of ADT, Michael Schwengel, where he talks about how he discovered voiceovers, growing his career, and much more. Check it out.
Michael, say hello to the peeps out there.
Hello, hello. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me. I appreciate it. How did you find voiceovers?
I actually did my first voiceover job when I was like 10 years old. I got cast for a local commercial in my hometown of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But it wasn't until 20 years later almost that I really got into it again. And basically after doing my normal routine in life, going to college, going into business, I ended up wanting to get back into acting. And so I started going back into commercial acting and independent film here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I got kind of tired of going to auditions all the time and having to dress and look a certain way. And I wanted to continue performing, but be a bit more entrepreneurial mm-hmm. in how I was approaching it. I actually saw an advertisement on Fiverr. That's how I kind of got back into it, is because I saw an advertisement for Fiverr with this couple in New York that was doing voiceovers, you know, two actors, and they seemed to be like really creating a nice life for themselves. And so I had that image in my mind and I went out and bought a microphone and I set up an account on Fiverr, and that's how I got started back into it.
Oh no, no. Yeah, I tell everyone, don't get on Fiverr. Right, I have no idea.
It's kind of the bottom of the barrel with voiceovers, but it was where I started.
Okay. Yeah. Just a little side note to people who are listening. I do not recommend Fiverr.
I don't either. I do not recommend it.
But it got you in the door. So
it did, yeah.
Where did you go from there?
Well, from there, I ended up signing with an agency here in Minneapolis. And so I did do a few local commercials. And that was great. But I wanted to find a way that I could kind of, you know, dig my teeth in a little bit further and work at my own pace, which I wanted to move a little bit more quickly through it. So I ended up signing up on voices.com and Voice123. Uh-huh. And really the way that I started learning voiceover was just auditioning and getting feedback. And I wasn't, you know, that great at the beginning. And I look back and, you know, I started where I needed to start. But the benefit of working with one of those pay-to-play sites is that it gave me an opportunity to read a lot of different scripts, you know, get some quick feedback from people and start working on some smaller jobs. So that was great.
So now I know that you are the current voice for ADT. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
That's awesome. Did you find doing that session for a national spot was different than, say, for some of the smaller jobs you've done?
Well, I think naturally, just because of the magnitude of the job and the client, you know, I had, my nerves were a little bit like,
yeah,
you know, all of my insecurities probably came up to the surface a little bit, like right before the job. The actual session, you know, was really amazing. And the client was so great to work with. And I think, you know, on one of these larger campaigns, I think I really, you know, this is going to be the case regardless, but especially for a bigger campaign, the client's spending a lot of money for voice talent and they want the best out of you. And I think they're going to do whatever they can to make that happen. And so I really felt like embraced by both the ad agency and the client, and they gave a lot of great feedback and they were very collaborative during the entire session. It really felt like a great experience.
Often the larger jobs that I've booked, the national campaigns, have been so much easier for me than the smaller jobs. And I think it's because they do have the money to invest in this campaign and they know what they want. They've spent the time doing the focus groups and the testing and the A-B testing, whatever they all do out there. They've done the demos. So it's pretty like easy. Walk in, you do it. Now those jobs now are becoming like unicorns. They're just not as frequent as they once were, but they're nice when you get them, and congratulations.
Thank you.
So what do you love about voiceovers?
I love that I can work my performance muscle. I get to play and experiment and be imaginative, and I get to do it in the comfort of my own home. I love that I don't have to, you know, like it's just something that I can do on a regular basis, which is really nice. And I get to kind of declare a certain block of my day where I get to be in that space. So, you know, I've enjoyed doing film and commercial work in the past. But there's oftentimes like a lot more time commitment or, like there's just a lot more that goes into all the back end of getting into a project in that way.
Yeah.
With voiceover, I have the opportunity to work on a lot of different projects, play a lot of different characters, see a lot of different industry scripts. It's just a much more varied experience. It feels kind of like traveling to me.
No.
I enjoy, you know, even in the course of auditioning in a day, that I get to experience 10, 20 different companies, organizations, messages. It's really fun for me to explore in that way.
And I would assume part of that like exploratory sense that comes out in you is because you're being present with the auditions and you're not just like going through them one after the other, but you're taking a moment to acknowledge what's in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of that too is, especially with the pay-to-play auditions,
mm-hmm.
I tend to only audition for projects that I feel some sort of resonance with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like, I'm choosing which products or not to want to audition with, but it's just some scripts I just feel are kind of written for me in a
yeah.
way. And it feels like my voice could be like a natural extension of the message that wants to be conveyed. And so I tend to just pick those scripts off the bat to audition for. And I definitely pick other ones that might be more challenging for me or maybe would require me to develop characters, et cetera. But in general, I try to gravitate towards scripts that just feel like they're going to fit like a glove.
So do you, because I've heard some talent will go on to the paid to plays and they'll just like click, 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 and they'll have all these tabs open of auditions and they'll bang them out, which
yeah.
is one approach. But so do you actually take the time before you start auditioning where you read through all these different scripts?
No, I do just go one by one. I'll generally just kind of like, you know, I'll skim through the script right before I read through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it just feels like it's not gonna like fit with me, then I'll just move on. And I'll look at the price and I'll look at, you know, the word count and I'll look at some of the usage things. So just, I might filter off the bat if it feels like it's just not in the range that I want to audition for. That
right.
might be one of the criteria. But another thing is just sometimes I can just tell like, this is made for a different voice actor. It's not made for me. And I'm not going to spend my time like pushing something that doesn't feel like it's a fit.
How many auditions would you say you do a day? I'm just curious.
Between, you know, pay to play sites and the different agencies that send me auditions, I probably do on average about like 8 to 10 a day, sometimes more depending on what energy I have. I really try not to be in the booth if I'm feeling burnt out because I can just feel that I'm not giving a good audition and generally I'm not going to get called back on those auditions.
Right. What challenges have you encountered while developing your voiceover career?
I think right off the bat, some of the largest challenges that I faced were just getting comfortable with my voice. And I mean that in like an actual physical, you know, or listening to my voice, but also just being comfortable with my own presence coming across as
yeah.
being enough. And I think especially, you know, with the latest trends in voiceovers, with wanting like very conversational, authentic, guy next door kind of reads is what I usually get hired for.
Yeah.
I think my biggest challenge was just learning that like how I sound is enough and that I don't have to like sound like somebody else or just really being totally present with myself. So it's kind of the fun thing about voiceovers for me is it's almost been like this spiritual journey of kind of coming into a grounded experience of myself and knowing that I can convey that to other people in a way that is going to like benefit their bottom line.
So how did you overcome the challenge of being uncomfortable with your voice?
Yeah.
Being uncomfortable with yourself.
So I knew that, you know, so I think for me, making the bridge between being in my own little voiceover booth and then having to step out and work in the community of voice actors was what really like helped to bring me forward in that. And so I just remember back to taking a workshop with you and Beth Chaplin. But whenever that was like a big break for me. I remember being in that class and just having a lot of insecurities come up and having to really like push through them. And in that workshop with you and Beth, we did a lot of work on vocalizing like this inner rant, this inner monologue, the mind chatter, and bringing that present into the booth. And to stop separating yourself at the mic from who you are and how you're showing up presently with, you know, who you want to be or how you're trying to portray yourself. So like closing the gap between those two things.
What piece of advice would you offer voiceover talent that, I don't know, they feel as though they've hit a wall or they're just plateauing in their career?
I would say that if you feel like you're hitting a plateau or hitting a dead end, I would challenge you to think that that's not really what's happening. and that you're being presented with an experience that is actually wanting to deepen your understanding of self, and it will translate in a way that makes you more authentic and relatable in the way that you move forward with your voiceovers. I think it's important to, like, when that comes up, when you feel like you're stuck or plateauing, to just be very present with the sensations that are coming up. And first of all, not try to run away from them. Maybe just meditate with the experience that's coming up, the feelings of doubt, the feelings of unworthiness. All of those emotions are very valid and they're wanting to be expressed, which is why they're coming up. I think that when we get out of the way of that process and just allow that to unfold, then before we know it, experiences will show up and we won't even be thinking about, you know, trying to move things forward because it's just happening.
And I think there's something really special and unique when someone is actually being, because we're so used to in our society, people doing, that you can hear it when someone is being present. Like, you actually lean in and will listen, versus when someone is just doing and coming from that space, it's kind of repels the listener and you want to turn your head because it feels affected and it doesn't feel like it's grounded.
Yeah, it feels rushed or stressed or mm-hmm. we're all, you know, kind of empathic beings and we can feel each other's stress and strain. And so to present someone with a read that feels grounded and centered, it reflects that back to the listener and it makes them feel the same.
Oh my gosh, I love you so much. So how can someone learn more about you and your voiceover ventures?
Sure. You can learn more about my voiceover work at voicemichael.com. And I also have a blog at onemichael.com that has some more of my woo-woo esoteric side.
It's awesome. Check it out. All right, Michael, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor, Sam Ufret. Stay tuned next week for episode 12, where I'm talking with Celia Siegel, voiceover manager, brand strategist, and current author of Voiceover Achiever, Brand Your VO Career, Change Your Life. You're definitely going to want to hear that episode. And a reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. Go to tinazaremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.